Support for On Point with Tom Ashbrook and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage's completely online process lets you get a custom mortgage solution wherever and whenever you want. Check out Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. When the checkout person at the supermarket looks 65 plus, you may wonder if that's you one day. It may be you already. But with more and more older Americans now working, those watching closely say the options are improving at 50, 60, 70. This hour on Point, the myths and realities of finding a job after 50, maybe well after. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Is that you? Out there working, looking for work, maybe at an age when your parents were retired. How's it look? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from New York is Ann Turgeson, reporter for The Wall Street Journal. This week she wrote the article, Five Myths About Landing a Good Job Later in Life. You can link to it at our website, onpointradio.org. And welcome to On Point. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
The first myth is that you're not going to find a good job. But is that really a myth?
Yes. Well, I mean, it certainly depends on who you ask. What I looked at was sort of macroeconomic data, and I spoke with economists who do this type of work and looked at some of the studies that they had done, looking at what the trends are in the broader economy. So certainly, when you talk to individual people, they have a variety of experiences. But on a broad level, these studies are showing that that there's been a lot of increased employment among older Americans since the mid 90s, and that a large fraction of the jobs that they're getting, a large fraction of the increased employment can be accounted for by the increase in skilled jobs, like very good professional service jobs.
I
mean,
I feel like I can see this, though, just in daily life. And you give us the statistics here. Workers age 50 or older now comprising 33.4% of the labor force. That's up from 25% just in 2002. That's a very dramatic, rapid increase. And now more than 60% of workers age 65 or older, more than 60% with full-time jobs, up from just 44% in 1995. Those are big changes. I guess they would show up across much of the workplace, but just going through life, I end up seeing people of significant age now, like at the checkout counter, checking me out.
Uh-huh.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I mean, again, you know, these are studies that look at big trends in the economy, and it doesn't mean that there's not a lot of variation under the hood. It's just, you know, saying that there's a lot of opportunity out there as well, so that you're not necessarily seeing, people who are like librarians, social workers, lawyers, executives mm-hmm. who are sitting behind desks, but they're out there. A surprising number of those jobs are actually older workers are very competitive for them in a way that they haven't been before.
So myth,
and in fact, a lot of those jobs didn't exist before.
Myth number one, you say, is I'm not going to find a good job. And you're saying that's not true. Is it because employers have widened the scope of who they're likely to hire? Because the demographics of our workforce have changed? They need those older workers? What's going on?
There's a lot of things going on here. One is that we are an increasingly knowledge-based economy. The services and the professional services employment has been growing in those sectors. So it used to be that, you know, we had a much more manual manual focus labor. And for those jobs, it's very difficult for older people to compete. You know, that when your body starts to break down, you're just not going to be competitive. You're going to be tired. So a lot of these jobs are, you know, what are called knowledge-based jobs. And older workers increasingly have, a lot of them have better health. People are living longer. They're realizing that they need to stick around longer. I think employers are facing shortages in some of the skilled areas, and they're looking to retain some of their existing workers. And education is another huge factor, that the education of older workers are more competitive from an education point of view than they used to be. There's statistics that look at, in 1990, 65-year-olds had about 11 and a half years of schooling compared to 13 and a half years for 25-year-olds. And today, the 65-year-olds have about, you know, almost 13 years of education on average versus almost 14 years for a 25-year-old. So the gap in education has been declining as well.
Though, so you say it's a myth that you're not going to find a good job. Though I'm looking at this study out of the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. Older workers finding employment in lower skilled service jobs, a common theme there. They said 65% more likely to find work in childcare, 93% more likely to work as cab drivers, twice as likely to work in retail. That doesn't sound like the top of the pyramid.
Right. And I'm sorry, you said that those figures pertain to 65-year-olds?
This is 55 and older.
Okay.
These are described as old person jobs. You're saying, okay, but you can also do better?
Yeah, no, and actually that study, interestingly, also found that from 1996 to 2012, only 1.4% of job seekers in their 50s, early to mid-50s, landed in these old person occupations, and that number has gone down. For people in their 50s and 60s, the percentages landing in these older person jobs actually has been declining, particularly dramatically for people in their early to mid-50s, which the authors take as evidence that not that we've solved all our problems by any means. I mean, nobody is saying that age discrimination doesn't exist. Nobody's saying that older people can land new jobs just as quickly as younger people, because I think the evidence argues against that conclusion. But they're saying that this sort of stereotyping or sort of tracking of older workers into these, quote, older person jobs, which are typically lower paying, lower status jobs, you know, think like crossing guards and jobs like that, Walmart greeters, the percentage who are tracked into those older person jobs has been declining, and again, dramatically so for people in their early to mid-50s, such that the author of that study sort of said to me, you know, I think that we're seeing a weakening of age discrimination, particularly for people in the 50 to 60 age bracket.
Another presumption that you take on, you call it a myth here, is you say, I'm not going to make as big a contribution as I did in the past. And you say the reality is that older workers can play a more vital role than ever. Like what and why?
Yeah, I love this. I love this myth, actually. So, you know, I think people are really concerned that, you know, somehow they've kind of bought into this stereotype or this idea that if you're older, you don't have as much to contribute, because I think that's quite prevalent in our society. It's not even necessarily spoken, but I think a lot of people just assume that. Even older people assume that about themselves, which can be really destructive and harmful. So what I did was I looked at productivity studies, and the conclusion that I came to after reviewing a large number of studies through what are called meta-analysis that combine a bunch of studies is that there's really very little relationship between age and job performance in general. And I actually dug up a couple of very recent studies that seem to that definitely indicate that in jobs that require experience, older adults have a performance edge. And interestingly, both of these studies come from Germany, and they're done with very large one a very large manufacturing company, Mercedes-Benz, and another a large insurance company. And you know, they generally both of those studies find that in the more complex jobs in particular, experience and increased productivity go together.
Are employers recognizing this, or do they still have presumptions baked in there? I mean, you've got a position, it's a, let's say, a high skilled job. They need somebody who's really keen, and the application comes in from someone who's 62. They're going to pick it up and hire that person?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, and I didn't speak to employers for this article, but I think that the answer to that would probably depend. I mean, if you look at a lot of companies that are experiencing labor shortages in very high-skilled areas, like, for example, engineering, I think there's a lot of desire for these companies to retain their older workers. I mean, such that you actually see them forming job banks with each other, the goal being to encourage people who are thinking about retiring or who have recently retired to come back on a contract basis. And increasingly, you know, because we do have an aging society and because labor force participation rates among older people are up, it could be that the person who's doing the hiring is themselves in their 50s or 60s. And, you know, in that case, I think that you're not going to find that they're going to have age discriminatory presumptions.
Maybe. I mean, you say another myth here is that you can't take time off or you'll never get back into the workforce. And, of course, a lot of people, they approach retirement age, they may retire and then figure out, you know what, I don't like being retired or I need more income. And the presumption may be that they can't get back in. That's different from retention. Once you're out, you know, maybe you play golf for a couple of years and you want to get back in, what happens?
Yeah, so actually, one of the economists who's going to come on to the show later, I spoke to, she's at Harvard, and she's done a lot of work in this area. And her data shows that about 40% of people who retire end up coming back to work typically within 2 years. In a lot of cases, her findings are that these people had premeditated that they had determined ahead of time, in some cases, you know, 10 or 12 years ahead of time, that was their plan. And I think in doing reporting, not for this article, but for another article I did about gap years for grownups, I spoke to a lot of people who fit into that category and who had decided that they were working full force, in a lot of cases raising children, and then all of a sudden, you know, they realized that they didn't quite know what they wanted to do anymore. So rather than continue to work at a very high-pressured, high-intensity job, a lot of them decided to take some time off, and they planned for it ahead of time.
And does it work? Can you get back in after that?
Yeah. So according to the study that this Harvard professor did, she shows that a large percentage of these people are able to take a break and then return to work again, typically within 2 years, was the time frame she looked at. And a large percentage of those people who did come back went in a new direction professionally.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about finding work after 50 and maybe 60, maybe at 70 these days or more, looking at myths and realities for a bigger and bigger sector of the American workforce. And you can join us. Have you changed careers, jobs, reinvented yourself at 55, 65, 75? Have you retrained? How did that go? Do you think it's a myth that 50 plus, 60 plus reinvention is brutal? Have you done it, tried it? What can you tell us? Ann Turgeson is with us, staff reporter for The Wall Street Journal. She's been writing about this myth, she says, of landing a good job later in life. Nicole Mastis and Kerry Hannon join us in just a moment. And we've got a lot of people writing into us here. Nancy, Barbara, Kathleen. Barbara says, I did it, age 57, found a new job, more or less in my profession. It's not where I thought I'd be 30 years ago, but who is where they thought they'd be 30 years ago? Nancy says, I did it too. Age 57, in July, after being un or underemployed for a couple of years, job eliminated in late 2013, she moved 500 miles south, starting over, but the job is a great fit for experience and skills, and my manager knew me as a colleague from a previous job. Networking is invaluable, I guess, no matter what age you're at, Anne. Kathleen writes to us, she says, I have so many talented, experienced boomer friends who have not been able to find living wage jobs. She says, I read the Wall Street Journal article, that's yours, and anecdotally, much of it does not match up with the experiences of 55 and up workers across the country that I know. Age discrimination is a real thing. Kathleen writes to us. What are you saying?
Yeah, no, I think I certainly went through all the comments on the article, and there were many, and I got a lot of emails from readers. It's very interesting. About a third said pretty much what Kathleen did. This is not my experience. I don't believe this positive picture at all. Another third said, this is my experience, and these people sounded very jazzed and happy about their opportunities. Another third, interestingly, said, this inspires me to take action. Some of those people clearly are already employed. Others are looking for jobs. And they said, you know, it, 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 I was fearful about going out there, and this makes me less fearful. It makes me want to sort of test the waters.
A couple of callers, and I want to bring in Nicole and Carrie. Andy in Boulder, Colorado. Andy, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. What do you see?
Well, I definitely see an older workforce present, and I think of myself, I'm a 28-year-old young entrepreneur, and I don't think there's any way I won't be working when I'm 50 or 60, just looking around and seeing society and seeing the way we're going, we're heading.
Or 70-plus. I mean, where does it show up in your life, Andy?
Well, just recently I went to the post office, and, you know, not to sound rude, but it seemed like most people there were over the age of 50 or 60.
Easily. We've seen that. I mean, maybe they're just aging in place there and a lot of other places as well. I mean, it is just evident. Andy, I appreciate your call from Colorado. Dave in New York, Binghamton, New York. Dave, you're on the air.
Another great topic, Tom.
Thank you. What's your story, Dave?
Well, I'm a 61-year-old truck driver. This is my third career after about 5 years in retail and nearly 20 years in radio. And now I've been out here on the road almost 20 years. And trucking is a great opportunity for those who are looking to see the country and get paid a decent wage. And it just works for a lot of us out here. And so if you're in one of those situations where you're wondering what to do next, if you've got a clean driving record, you don't abuse alcohol or take drugs, then come on over here and check out what's going on in the trucking field.
What about trucking companies, Dave? Are they going to hire somebody who shows up 60-plus and says, I'm ready to roll?
Well, you'll have to get some training, of course, and there's truck driving schools and also some companies that will train you. But there is a shortage of drivers because not everybody can keep up the pace. Not everybody has what it takes to be a safe driver of a big rig out here on the road. So it's out here, and the jobs are available, and the freight needs to move.
The freight needs to move. We know that, and thank heavens there's people like you doing it. Is it lonely out there, Dave? Are you long haul? Is it a good job?
I got a radio on my dashboard, brother. It's beautiful.
We're right there with you. Hey, and what about those self-driving trucks they say are going to come in and take all those truck driver jobs away?
Oh, boy, I can't wait for those to show up, because then I can crawl on the back and read a good book while listening to the radio.
I don't know if they carry you along. Dave, thank you for listening to us. I'm really happy to think of you out there, and I'm glad you like that work. Thank you, Dave. One more right here. Glastonbury, Connecticut. Steve. Steve, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here, I'm listening to that gentleman talking about trucking, and I realize at 60 years of age, now I went through a company downsizing in July.
You and a lot of others, I suppose.
Right, and I'm trying to reinvent myself. And what I'm finding really helpful is having a good recruitment team around you and also coming at them from the point of view of, hey, listen, I've got 25 years of manufacturing. I've got 16 years in QA, and I can offer you something for your young crew that you hired in the last 10 years, and I can help them to prepare for the future. And to go into these employers and say, listen, I've got a 10-year window plan. You know, I could retire in 2 years and take partial SSI, but I'm not going to do that.
Yep.
I've got 10 years. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to the right company. So I'm finding myself going out there and being very selective about how I want to spend my next 10 years, because I want those to be happy years.
Sure.
I even looked at the trucking industry, and to tell you the truth, I don't agree with that gentleman. And what I saw was a lot of negative as opposed to positive. But there is one important factor. You want to make sure that you're willing to relocate. I think that's valuable. Don't pigeonhole yourself into, I got to be near my grandkids.
Yep.
You know, you love your grandkids, great. So move within one or two states if necessary. But, you know, broaden your window, broaden your scope. Take all of the things that you know how to do and pick some jobs that perhaps you were doing but you didn't actually have the title for. You know, you might be ready to move into those positions. Don't sell yourself short on your wages. I made the mistake of looking at my current wage when I left that company because of the downsizing and not realizing that guys in my field were making $10,000 more than I was making.
Steve, so, let me ask you, sound like a very smart cookie, and you're looking at selling your experience as a real positive. Let me come in and be the mature one, and here's a time frame. How are employers responding to that? Do you feel them buying it?
They're responding very well. I just had an employer fly me down to Kansas City. I just came back last night on the red eye. And that happened because I was able to sell that idea that, listen, I've got a lot to offer, with all of these years' experience, and I know you got a young crew in there, and they really need to be brought up to speed. So maybe the young guy knows a little bit more of the advanced machinery, but I understand the concept. I can walk in and look at the process and tell you whether or not it works and come back to you with results. And that's the way I'm finding that marketing myself works at 60.
Boy.
If I had to come in and try to reinvent myself from the bottom up, that would be just a pile of nerves for me.
Yeah.
That's not healthy for my body. That's not healthy for my mind.
Yeah.
I got to remember that I am 60. I'm not 20.
Yeah.
You know, I had a 90-something-year-old grandfather who stood next to a 4-inch-high concrete step and jumped up, and he was pleased with himself because the little boy that's 20 years old inside still wants to live, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you just have to be realistic.
Hey, I think you're going to do great, Steve. You sound like a very sharp employee. I would snap you up in a jiffy. Let us pull the curtain on back a little further here, and I appreciate your call from Connecticut. Ann Turgeson with The Wall Street Journal. Please stand by there in New York. With us right now from Washington is Carrie Hannon. She's a career counselor and jobs expert and columnist for the AARP, author of Getting the Job You Want After 50 for Dummies. Carrie Hannon in Washington, thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Great to be here.
It's great to have you. And with me in the studio today is the aforementioned Harvard professor Nicole Mastis, economist, studies labor and the economics of aging, professor of healthcare policy at Harvard Medical School, research associate at the National Bureau of Economic Research. Nicole, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Tom.
So is it really that? I mean, Anne's article says, you know, it's a myth to have these concerns about getting hired after a certain age. Are these really myths?
Tom, do you want me to start or do you want Nicole?
Nicole, jump in.
Yeah. You know, the data really do indicate they're myths, but it is important to note that there is a lot of variation across the country in the strength of labor markets, areas where we're seeing a lot of growth in services industries, in particular professional services industries, are areas where older workers are going to have a lot more success getting into jobs easily or moving.
So you want to be in a hot labor market.
You want to be in a growing labor market, yes. In areas where the labor market isn't growing, it's tougher. And that might explain some of this variety of experience that some of the callers have reported.
Or like Steve said, you may have to move away from your grandkids.
You might have to be willing to move to take advantage of some of these opportunities.
Not everyone's going to want to do that at a certain age in life. I mean, that's part of what they may have seen as the reason they worked hard for many years.
Yeah. Well, that's right. Fortunately, there are a lot of areas that are growing. It's not like there's just one area. It's not like you might have to move far. In fact, it might already be your area.
Carrie, we don't want to sugarcoat this. I mean, you look around and of course, service industry, that covers a lot of things. But I see a lot more older people in retail, at checkout counters. I mean, you do that in a supermarket for an eight-hour shift. That's hard work. And, you know, I'm not sure everybody pictures themselves doing that when they're 68 years old. What's the reality, Carrie?
Oh, I think you're absolutely correct. I mean, some of those jobs are available for older workers, but physically they're incredibly demanding. You know, if you want to be the cash register person or you're doing retail, even at a holiday job, you're on your feet a lot. That's tough. But you know what I'm seeing is just what you said, Tom. I mean, ageism is alive and well in the workforce, but it's truly an individual by individual thing. Anne's article is fantastic. I love the contrarian take on it. In essence, it really is. These myths are out there. These generalizations are actually true for some workers, but it really isn't an individual by individual thing. But I think employers do have legitimate concerns about hiring an older worker. And, you know, they think you're not up for the job. You don't have the stamina for it. They think that you're not up to speed with technology, that you're not going to play nicely with the other kids. In other words, if you have a younger boss, you might be uncomfortable. They worry that, yes, you are overqualified and too expensive, and you're unwilling to sort of try new ways of doing things. So these are all generalizations, and they do apply to some people, but there are ways to fight back.
Wow, I didn't expect the AARP to call those to go to those, but that's reality, I'm sure, for some people. I want to hear right from the front line here, Lauren in Racine, Wisconsin. Lauren, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. So I am 57. I am finishing up a 4-year degree. After going back to school at 53, I'm going from insurance claims work to being a counselor, which is kind of, I think, my calling and always has been, and I've just ignored it. I still have 2 years left on a master's. I have been lucky enough not to have to work this whole time, which was a blessing so that I could study. I did go full time, but I have been volunteering at National Alliance for the Mentally Ill in Racine as a peer group counselor, and I've been doing that for the last 3 years. So I do have some volunteer work on my record, also some internship as well. So,
what's your plan, Lauren? How long do you want to work, and do you have to work to pay off school loans at that age?
Oh, you betcha. Everybody thinks I'm crazy. My friends are all going to be retiring just as I'm starting my third career. So, but yeah, I'm going to have to, I'm planning on working till 70, 70 past if I have to. The good thing about counseling is that I can go into private practice after, you know, quote unquote retirement age if I wish to, or I can contract part time or whatever. But I'd like to know from the, I do worry a little bit about the fact that I have not been a paid employee for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, if that's going to hurt me, or if the school experience is going to, and the internship, because I will have to intern now, if that will carry me over and I should be able to find employment.
I appreciate your call, Lauren. Nicole, what about that resume without employment in recent years as she retooled? How's it look?
It looks good. The evidence suggests that people who do go retool, they successfully move into new careers. This is, you know, I think this is sort of the way things are going now, that people have these opportunities to move into careers that they might even find more fulfilling than their first or second career.
Mm. And to Lauren's expectation that she'll do that until she's 70 or more, is that realistic, Nicole?
Yes, I think it is.
That's the world we're in. Jim in Mansfield, Massachusetts. Jim, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you for taking my call, Tom.
Yeah.
I have a doctorate I got in philosophy a long time ago, but I went into computers. When I retired at 68, I went back into teaching, and I found that if you start teaching online classes, you can teach all over the country. You don't have so much a problem in regard to age discrimination and so forth, and that can be in any field, not just philosophy. And I think it's helpful to know that that kind of thing is available, and a lot of departments are now looking for adjuncts because they don't want to pay benefits for full time. And that's some way to go, at least.
Yeah. So the online avenue may be easier for you. I mean, Ann Turgeson, I appreciate your call, Jim. Ann, I mean, here's an example of technology supporting the older worker. You don't have to trudge to the classroom. Just fire up the computer and you're at work.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a great plan to me. I think that, you know, people, I did hear from a lot of readers out there, you know, concerns about being displaced by technology and automation. So this is a really nice example of somebody who's, you know, seeing, sort of embracing it as a way to make things work for him.
Carrie Hannon, net, do you see technology cutting older workers out of the workforce or empowering them more often?
I absolutely think they can empower them, but it really takes an individual to, you know, be willing to adjust to that. But Tom, there's one point that I think that's important to make, and Anne's piece did not address the fact that, yes, older workers are getting jobs. That's great, but let's talk about the pay.
Okay. What have you got?
I mean, I just find that when I speak to audiences across the country, I see the palpable fear in their eyes that they're going to outlive their money. And, you know, they very well might, and they absolutely need these jobs. And a lot of times I see people who, I don't call it reinventing themselves, I call it redeploying their skills, but they shift to a different arena. And that's great as well. That's how you need to think about it. But they're often going to jobs that are not paying what they made in their prior career, in their primary career. And they often want to try to replicate that job that they had before, which is a stumbling block for them. And they need to really look at the fact that employers do think that you're too expensive, your health is too expensive to insure, and that your salary demands are too high. And you need to look at the full compensation package, not just the, you know, the salary, but see if you can negotiate around the edges for more vacation, for, you know, being able to work from home, telecommute. These are things we all value as we get older, to have some autonomy. So I do think that workers that I've found often shift to opportunities that don't pay as much.
Support for On Point with Tom Ashbrook and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings home financing into the 21st century with a completely online process that's fast, easy, and convenient. Using a phone or tablet, you can safely share bank statements and pay stubs without having to dig through piles of paperwork. It takes just a few minutes to get a custom mortgage solution on your terms, wherever and whenever you want. Check out Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about Americans working to higher and higher ages and the myths and realities about what's out there in the workplace for an aging, in many ways, workforce. Ann Turkeson has written about it for The Wall Street Journal. Reporter there, she joins us from New York. Carrie Hannon is a career counselor and columnist for the AARP with us from Washington. And Nicole Mastis is with us, economist who studies labor and the economics of aging, professor at the Harvard Medical School. You can join us this hour. Is that you out there looking for work at a certain age, finding it or not? We've got a lot of questions for all three of you, Nicole, Ann, Carrie, a lot of callers as well. Springfield, Illinois. Carol, you're on the air. What's your story, Carol?
Hi.
Hi. What's your story?
Well, my story is I retired from the former governor's office in 2001, and then I went to work for the personnel agency in one of the state agencies and retired from there. And then I'll be 77 on Saturday.
Congratulations.
And I started my own interior decorating business and staging business.
How old were you when you started that, Carol?
I started it about 3 years ago.
So around 70, almost 75 when you started that.
Yes.
How was that? Are people perfectly willing to hire you? That doesn't matter?
I don't advertise. It's just simply word of mouth.
Why are you still working at 77? By choice or not?
Oh, definitely by choice. I don't have to. I'm financially okay. I've raised two sons and college educated them. And have four grandsons or grandchildren that have done very well. So I just have always been active, and I thrive on the more I have to do, the better I feel.
Carol, I really appreciate your call from Springfield, Illinois there. And what about the story on this is a kind of entrepreneurship. She started her own, you know, decorating and staging company at age 74 or 75. What's the record show about whether that works?
Yeah, so actually, this is one of the myths tackled is that in the article is that the chance to be an entrepreneur has passed me by. But in fact, the data shows that that older workers or older individuals are starting represented about a quarter of all entrepreneurs who started business in 2015, and that's up from 15% in 1996. So there's been a huge growth in the rate at which older people are starting their own businesses. And there's not a lot of data out there on success rates, but some of the data that I was able to dig up indicate that older workers, in fact, are more successful. And I think a lot of that has to do with experience. It may also have to do with the fact that they have more savings that they can use to launch ventures, and so they probably have lower debt.
Some may do that. Some may want to be an employee. Very practically, Carrie Hannon in Washington, and Patricia writes to us on Twitter, ask us to address how to keep dates off a resume. You know, if you want to point to your experience, but not to the fact that your first job was in 1897. She says, I find employers ask me age in online data one way or another.
Right. I mean, you're not really going to be able to get around that issue too much. There's one way to, you know, with your resume, you want to keep it to the last 10 or 15 years. I mean, this is an advertisement, not an obituary. So you want to have it tight and put, you know, other experience in a smaller paragraph down further. Don't put graduation dates, but it's pretty difficult to get away from employment dates. And so you're going to have to embrace that and realize that that's part of the game. But I will say that I often hear people who are concerned about when they're going into interviews or if they put up their LinkedIn photo that they have gray hair and should they dye their hair and all those things. So those are some issues that you know, cosmetically people try to address. But in your resume, I think you're not going to be able to escape that.
Nicole Mastis, John writes to us. He says, you know, finding this job without so much difficulty, he says, not my experience at all. Employers not interested in my experience. They can get it cheaper.
Lost job in January, still looking. There's a tweet that hurts.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that is the experience of many people and has been the experience even in the wake of the Great Recession of a few years ago. But the data really overall suggests that in these areas where industries are growing and growing rapidly, you see older workers benefiting from those jobs, those added jobs, disproportionately so, more than any other age group. And you see wages increasing as well, which you would expect when there's excess demand for labor in a local labor market.
And how do you explain that? Older job applicants or workers benefiting more greatly than younger. Mm-hmm. Why? You're saying the experience, I guess, must be valued or something else.
I think experience is one of the major advantages that older workers bring. You've heard it echoed in some of your callers mm-hmm. and their personal experiences. Experience, there is a tremendous return to experience in terms of pay. And if you can contrast an older worker who brings 20, 30 years of experience with a new entrant who has only a couple of years of experience, that's a very, very big difference. And I think employers are increasingly seeing the value in that experience as they look for skilled labor.
Mm. You've got a listener who writes on Twitter that it's not about, if they can't, older workers can't find jobs, it says, BA says, it's not about age discrimination. Most of us in our 20s and 30s can't find living wage jobs either. Is there resentment out there, Carrie, among younger workers, of older workers who don't move out?
I'm not sure. I don't want to build it into a generation war. I think there's ageism that's alive and well in the 20-something group. I mean, it's employers don't want to spend the money to train them, and they don't want to spend for the expensive salaries of someone who is already trained. So I think there is a built-in ageism on both sides of the fence. And what I wanted to mention also about when we were talking about entrepreneurism, what I see out there that's really exciting is senior entrepreneurs pairing up with younger entrepreneurs in their 20s who are also having trouble finding jobs. And you've got this great synergy of the tech experience and the energy combined with the capital, the network, and so forth of an older entrepreneur with the experience. And I'm seeing these pop up around the country, and it's really encouraging.
I mean, not all of our listeners are finding that. Here's one listener writes online, I'm in my 60s, and younger people are mean, lazy. They think a person who's older, intelligence decreases when, in fact, we have a lot of knowledge they wouldn't understand. No respect for the older worker. I don't know if you heard, Ann Turgeson, that kind of complaint in your reporting for this piece.
So I heard it more for the piece. I mainly spoke to people like including Nicole, some of the economists and experts. Mm-hmm. But I certainly heard it in the comments that came back on the story and in some of the emails that I got. You know, people were saying that they are having difficulty finding opportunities, and they strongly believe that age discrimination is a factor.
I mean, we do have, Carrie, a new reality here with people working side by side over very wide age ranges. Maybe something we've never quite seen before. I mean, in the past, more jobs were physical. You just wouldn't be there at 70. Now you could have a 70-year-old working right next to a 24-year-old, and maybe that's just America.
Yeah, I think it's really, we're seeing this like it's never ever occurred quite this way before. And this, we have to, again, you know, use that word embrace it and really build in ways that we respect each other. I mm-hmm. definitely hear older workers all the time, you know, commenting about the disrespect they get in the workplace from a younger coworker. And it goes vice versa of the older worker being condescending. So we need to have these coming together. I will mention AARP has this wonderful report out on multi-generational workforces that profiles five businesses who are really doing it right with mentoring programs, wonderful apprenticeship programs, and it's a great study where they mention several companies, you know, from PNC Financial to Huntington Ingalls, who has I talked to a woman there who entered their apprenticeship program, and now she's a trained electrician at the age of 58, and she had been out of the workforce to care for her aging parents, and so it's really encouraging to see these kinds of things.
Rick in Worcester, Massachusetts. Rick, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hello, Tom. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
Just by way of background, I left the pharmaceutical industry a few years ago. I'm mm-hmm. now 59 years old.
Okay.
I'm a PhD researcher.
Yeah.
I have one question and one suggestion I'd like to raise that picks up on some things that have come up. The first question that I have is, In a zero-sum economy, which this seems to be, who is not getting the jobs that these older workers are getting? And again, I remind you, I'm 59, so I have a vested interest in not saying this.
Yeah.
The second point I want to make is it seems to me in all this discussion, we're talking about employers needing two things. One is laborers, and one is experience. The laborers could very well be young people, and I think as some people have brought up, the experience can be brought by the older employees, but not necessarily in the same format as an employee. Specifically, I think we should develop models like SCORE, which has been around for decades, the Service Corps of Retired Executives, and begin to develop an organized entrepreneurship where experienced employees can come in and work as whatever you want to call them, consultants, coaches, teachers, mm-hmm. including at the universities.
So get older folks in, not necessarily in direct competition, but maybe in a kind of advisory way sometime or a coaching way. I mean, this comes, Nicole, jump in here, to this issue of demographics. Is it a zero-sum economy? If older Americans are finding and holding jobs later in life, is that directly at the expense of younger would-be workers?
It is not. And many, many studies have tackled this very question over time, because it naturally comes up. The question, really what's happening here is that the economy is growing. Even though we're growing at a slower rate now than we were in the past, mm-hmm. the economy is still growing. In fact, this view, we've looked at this over decades of data for the U.S., across U.S. states, different industries. There really is no evidence that older workers and younger workers substitute for one another. It's more apt to think of them as complements. In other words, they work together to enhance the productivity.
But aren't there just so many jobs in a workplace? Or is that too simple?
It's too simple. Mm-hmm. It's in a growing workplace that mm-hmm. even mm-hmm. a single workplace is mm-hmm. always adding jobs, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So it's the growth that confers these the expanding pie, if you will.
So look for that growth. We're looking at older workers in the workplace, some out and coming back in, the myths and realities about what that's like. David in Bristol, Tennessee. David, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm kind of in an unusual situation. I was able to retire with a pension, so income wasn't a problem for me. But I wanted something really different. And my wife and I left the cold upstate New York, where I retired from university there, went back to school and became a nurse, and I'm working in the emergency room full-time.
Huh.
Allowed us to travel to Maryland to spend time with our son, new grandson, and then when he finished school and moved to Virginia, where we actually traveled to Tennessee, both my wife and I easily find work because we're in the healthcare field. I'm competing with younger kids, 20s, 30s, and the wage situation is different, too. I don't have the experience that my other career brought with me, but it's afforded us the opportunity to basically travel wherever we want. And even at that point when I decide I don't want to work full-time anymore, I can still work per diem at pretty much any facility that has a healthcare system.
And the emergency room job market is that strong, David? You can go where you will.
Yes, I would say yes. I had to travel 40 minutes to find work where there was an opening. But nursing has so many varieties of situations. I mean, it's absolutely amazing what opens up with this new career in regards, if I didn't find work in one area, my experience, 3 years as a nurse could open up many other doors. And I really did it because I wanted to learn something completely different.
Yeah.
And it's been a very rewarding opportunity.
And has worked out well for you. David, I appreciate your call in Tennessee. Let me get one more right here from Appleton, Wisconsin. Carol, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I have an idea that would open things up for younger and older workers. A lot of older workers who are age 60, like I'm thinking of in the field of engineering, okay. have enough savings to get by until they could get Social Security. They've got savings in 401ks and investments. But the one thing they're worried about is getting away from their employer's health insurance. And if the age for Medicare could be lowered to age 60, I bet you there'd be a lot of people that would drop out of engineering and go into other fields. Maybe they're tired of traveling all the time that you have to do in the, when you're in engineering. And then that would open up jobs for, there might be some 40-year-olds that would fill in. They've got experience, but nobody's hiring at the moment. But then those jobs would open up.
That's interesting.
You'd have a whole domino effect of jobs opening up. You'd have college kids being able to get some jobs to help pay off their student loans.
Carol, we've got it. I don't know if you want to hold your breath for Medicare's eligibility age to come down, but this, the health care factor here, Nicole, could be, I guess, a big deal in people desperate to stay in whatever job they've got. Is it also a hurdle to get back in if you're out? Employers looking at you and saying, well, I don't know about adding that to my coverage pool.
That's often raised as a concern. That said, an older worker who is being hired for a job that is a job classification that offers health insurance to all employees, that offer has to be made regardless of age. If you're in a regular full-time job, we were talking about those jobs. Those jobs typically have health insurance. If the employer offers it to everybody, they're going to offer it to that new worker as well. So you're right. Health insurance is often a motivation for why people either try to stay in work or return to work after leaving.
And Carrie, our time is short here, but we've got a listener asking, saying that his impression is, or hers, that laws barring age discrimination are not enforced at all. What about it, Carrie?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it's difficult to walk through that path, but it's clearly it is illegal and it exists and people do file claims every year and the number actually has been increasing, and I think that everyone should pay attention to that.
Pay attention as, I don't know if a wave is the right word, but the way you describe it, Anne and Nicole, it looks something like that, a wave, really, of older workers in the workforce, reinventing themselves in the workforce. And as Ann Turgeson with the Wall Street Journal would have it, finding out that not all the myths really hold true. Listeners, we're very interested in your comments online. We'll continue reading those well after this show, onpointradio.org and beyond. Ann Turgeson at the Journal, thank you very much for your reporting and for being with us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Nicole Mastis with Harvard Medical School, economist there, thank you very much for coming in.
You're very welcome.
And Carrie Hannon at the AARP, thanks for joining us today, Carrie.
Thanks, Tom.
Good luck to everybody out there. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.